This is a WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Talking.
Since 1947.
This is a WGNS Action Line. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
On the air with us next, we have Dr. Craig McCabe, local eye doctor here in town. Dr. McCabe, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. I hope everybody out there had a nice warm weekend and was able to get all the things done they needed to get done.
It's very hot out there, and sometimes that heat is a little rough on us. And the outdoor growth of grass and trees, that's rough on us too.
Yeah, you got to get out there, and if you have a yard, mow it and weed whack it, which is probably the thing that I enjoy the least. But the finished product's always nice. You can be proud of that. But you got to take care of yourself. You got to protect your eyes. At least wear sunglasses. You know, keep yourself hydrated, like everybody says. And a lot of people will get a lot of weed and grass pollen allergies now. And we've talked about that before, about using the allergy eye drops, nasal sprays, which seem to work better than the oral pills that people take. Yeah, you got to get out there, and if you have a yard, mow it, weed whack it, which is probably the thing that I enjoy the least. But the finished product's always nice. You can be proud of that. But you got to take care of yourself. You got to protect your eyes. At least wear sunglasses. You know, keep yourself hydrated, like everybody says. And a lot of people will get a lot of weed and grass pollen allergies now. And we've talked about that before, about using the allergy eye drops, nasal sprays, which seem to work better than the oral pills that people take. And typically that will take care of it. If it doesn't, then you need to go see your doctor. But those are the basics.
Grass, whenever you mow the yard and weed eat and all that stuff, it's one of those things where it is instant gratification. You can see a difference right away. And I say you can see a difference only if you wear the proper eye protection, like you're saying. I think all of us have got a story somehow or somewhere where we've been hit in the face with something while using the old weed whacker.
Yeah, and I know when I'm weed and trimming, all kinds of grass and dirt and rocks and particles are hitting my feet and my shins and all that. You know, every once in a while, one can ricochet, or you can have that thing angled a certain way and it'll fly up. And, you know, you'll feel things hit your face and really be glad you've got some sort of protection over your eyes.
Just regular old eyeglasses or sunglasses, that helps enough?
It really makes a huge difference versus nothing at all, you know. And it seems like people used to say, well, not everybody wore their seatbelts, they're so much better now. They'll say, you know, well, I was just going to the grocery store or something, and that's where I had my accident. And, you know, most car accidents happen within 5 miles of the home, and most eye accidents even closer. They're usually, you know, around your yard and stuff. If you're out walking or hiking, that's another one you may think would be just fine. But there's all kinds of things blowing around, as well as tree branches that you can walk into. And we see people probably every other week that have had something like that happen.
By the way, anybody listening, you're more than welcome to text in questions for Dr. McCabe, local eye doctor. The phone number to text in, 615-893-1450. And we do already have a question here. We have not had a question like this before, so I'm curious too about this one. It says, I went skiing on the lake yesterday at Center Hill. Water got into my eye in a way that I can't explain, but it hurt like crazy, and now my eye looks slightly swollen and continues to be red after falling yesterday in the water. Boy, I bet that would hurt, you know. When you're skiing, you're going pretty fast. That water to be propelled into your eye when you fall, that would not feel good.
Yeah, and you're not wearing your sunglasses then, I guess, when you're skiing. Although you can get those straps that will go around your head, chokies and others make them. And if your sunglasses came off for whatever reason, they make them float so you don't lose them. So in a way, they're the best thing to have when you go out on the lake. And you definitely need your sunglasses out on the lake. And skiing, whether it be on the water or in the winter on the snow, the best glasses for that are polarized ones. And I usually do not recommend polarized glasses for the average person because they make certain LED dials harder to read. They can make your cell phones harder to read because they will have some polarization to the glass that covers them, or the plastic that covers them, the Gorilla Glass. So in those cases where there's a lot of reflected light and it's really bright, then of course the polarized glasses are the best. Some people will wear goggles, and a lot of people now when they're skiing on snow, you'll see them wearing helmets with full face protection. And of course, that's the best. On the water, that's certainly much harder to do, but at least wear some kind of protection. And these little falls like this, you can't avoid. But let's say it's happened to you like this person. One of the best things you can do is just put artificial teardrops in your eyes to soothe and lubricate them. Maybe go home and take a nap. The more you keep them closed, the faster they can heal. And make sure that your vision's pretty good. If your vision is way off from where it's been, then you need to go see the eye doctor as soon as you can.
And what about some of the dangers involving lake water? You know, I've always been curious what happens if you open your eyes too much while underwater in the lake. What kind of germs and bacteria, I guess, could get into your eyes?
Well, besides just bacteria and viruses, when you're around these areas of water, you have parasites that can get in the eye. And even in pool water and hot tub water are certain parasites that do cause significant damage to the front of the eye, especially the cornea. And that's why I say if your vision's pretty good, pretty close to where it used to be, then that's very unlikely. And you don't have to have pain with it, or you can have a lot of pain with it. But in almost all those situations, your vision is not near as clear as it used to be. And that's your indication that you shouldn't just wait a few days and see if it gets better. It's completely not normal for you to not see near as well as you used to. And you should go get that checked out as soon as you can. That should become a priority.
Now, I notice one of the things you said in response to that eye injury is to rest with your eyes closed, and hopefully it'll heal a little bit quicker. But, you know, I don't think the average person thinks about, well, I have an eye injury. What should I do? Should I keep my eyes closed, rest them, put an ice pack on them? But I don't think anybody thinks about that. We take it for granted.
Absolutely. Everybody, because they're typically not a problem. You know, you may have to wear glasses or something like that, but you put them on, you see well. But it's completely not normal for one day for your eyes to be fine and the next day for you to lose part of your vision in one eye, or for you not to be able to read like you could the day before. Those are all things that very well could indicate there's a more serious underlying problem that needs to be treated right away to have the best visual outcome.
Do things like an ice pack or a hot compression of some sort, putting that on your eye or your eyes whenever you do have an injury, does that help?
Well, it depends upon the injury. Assuming that you have not had something hard hit your eye, or a sliver, a shaving of something, like a lot of people now are sharpening their lawnmower blades. And it's very easy when you're grinding that metal against that sharpening stone to have a little sliver of hot metal hit your eye and embed in your cornea, or even worse, go through. There's people that are playing paintball and little pellet ball games, and they can have traumatic injury to their eyes. So there's a lot more injuries in the summer when people have time on their hands and they get out and play these things than they would if they were either back at school or the weather wasn't good outside. If it is a mild thing, then ice is usually the way to go. Heat is a good way to go when you have a sty or a chalazion, which is not a traumatic problem. They come on gradually, a little red lump in your eyelids. However, ice is good. You, of course, never want to heat up bacteria. That just makes them fester and grow. You also do not want to put any pressure if you've had a cut to your eye where the fluid inside has now an additional exit to come out, and putting pressure on it would make it worse. So in general, if it is something mild where a foreign body hasn't entered the eye, then an ice pack is good. And if it could be anything else, then you need to protect it and go to the emergency room or see your local eye doctor if you can.
I have another question here. Now, this one asks the question, it states, I believe I've got some type of depth perception. Yeah. It says, I even fell twice. What could this be? Could it be an eye problem or something else?
So hearing perception, you can hear something, but you may not be able to localize it where exactly that sound's coming from if you don't have two good ears, because you need that stereo acuity to be able to localize a sound. You may still hear it, but you won't know where it comes from. And vision is the same way. You need two good eyes to have good depth perception. It can be as mild as, say, if you went to the batting cages and you had a hard time hitting those balls, even though you have good coordination, or maybe parallel parking the car, or maybe threading a needle, or doing your knitting, anything like that. Those things require good depth perception, and you need two good eyes for that. Now, a simple thing would be that, you know, you're not wearing your glasses, or maybe you've developed cataracts, and that's another major cause in our country for people having poor depth perception, misjudging stairs, and you can fall down and hurt yourself. Well, there's other things that are inputs into our balance that help keep us upright and keep us from falling. There are things called the Golgi tendon apparatus in our muscles that will know how hard our muscles are stretching. And that combined with the inner ear, which has the semicircular canals that tells us which way our head is moving or positioned in relationship to our body. Those are all things that keep our balance. And of all these inputs, vision is the number one, the most important one. As a matter of fact, 90% of all the information that our brain receives is through the eyes. That's why they're so important, and that's why, you know, when we're born as babies, we have a big head because of our brain, but we also have big eyes because they're mostly developed so that we can see almost right away. Where, of course, we don't, you know, sit up or crawl and certainly walk till months and months later. And so the vision is very important to everything we do, and especially in our balance and in our depth perception. So these are the reasons why poor vision in just one eye and the other one maybe 20/20 can lead to falls or parking mishaps with the car.
Curious about this. Could somebody have a depth perception problem for seeing things that are further away versus somebody who may have a problem? And I don't know if there is a difference there, but somebody else may have a problem with that depth perception of stuff that's right there in front of them, maybe 4 feet away versus 30 feet away.
Well, of course, if you're nearsighted, you have better vision up close than you do far away. So that would cause problems with blurred vision. And then farsighted, you know, vice versa, just the opposite, problems with things up close. And if you ever get confused about that, just remember that nearsighted means you have sight at near, and farsighted means you have sight at far, not the other way around. But there are children that have problems with their eye muscles, and that can result in depth perception, even permanent loss of vision in one eye. That's why it's so important to have your pediatrician check your kid's eyes. And if there's a family history of eye problem, then you getting a visit to a pediatric ophthalmologist to have them be seen within the first probably year after being born. And you may not think of that, but if there's a family history of that, then absolutely. And I'm sure your pediatrician will recommend that. However, typical depth perception problems are usually due to one eye not being corrected well enough or not seeing well enough due to some pathology in that eye. But also kids, as they become, you know, later in their single digits, 7 to 10, maybe, you know, preteens, those kind of things, they can have a problem focusing up close in a percentage of them. And this is called inability to converge the eyes. So an interesting tidbit here of information about the eyes is that they always yoke. That means they both move left, they both move right, they both move up, they both move down together. However, there's one time, which happens hundreds of times a day, where they don't, where they move in opposite directions. Can you think of what that is?
Is it when you're asleep and they're going back and forth? Maybe you're dreaming or something? I'm not sure.
Yeah, in REM sleep, they still move in the same direction.
Oh.
So that was a good guess, but it's much more simple than that. And that is any time that we look at something up close, the right eye looks to the left and the left eye looks to the right. So they move in opposite directions. They do what's called converge. They both move to focus at a point in front of our face. And there is a subset of kids that those muscles that are in charge of bringing the eyes together like that, the medial rectus muscles of each eye, that they need to be built up and made stronger. And we recommend that they do what's called pencil push-ups. Probably never heard that term either, but you take another number two pencil, you look at actually the two on that number two pencil, and you bring it as close as you can before it blurs while you're looking at it in front of your face. So you bring it from far to close, and you'll find there's a point, and there's that for all of us, that we bring something that we have to read, and it blurs because it's too close. Well, for these kids with near point of convergence insufficiencies, they'll have to hold it pretty far out, where otherwise someone, you know, 7 to 12 can bring that pencil about 3 inches from their nose. We can't do that now, but when you're very young, you could. And so they have what's called near point of convergence insufficiencies. They have to do pencil push-ups, build up that muscles, and that almost always takes care of it. And so that's in the differential diagnosis if your kid's not doing well at school, or having trouble reading, or doesn't like to read. So all of these little problems with the eyes can really have a big effect on us.
And again, we're talking with Dr. Greg McCabe, local eye doctor here in Murfreesboro, McCabe Vision Center on Heritage Park Drive. We're going to take a short break and check on that traffic situation, and then we will be right back. You can text questions to Dr. McCabe right now at 615-893-1450. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Dozens of vendors. One local tradition.
Plump, juicy tomatoes.
The Farmer's Market. Every Tuesday and Friday, 7 a.m. to 1.
Pick fresh this morning.
At Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
Farm fresh eggs.
At 315 John R. Rice Boulevard.
50 years strong. Come see why.
Need a new set of tires? Head to Tire World, where you can buy now, pay later. Ask your Tire World experts in Murfreesboro, Smyrna, and Laverne about their financing options.
Tire World. We keep
get the Bridgestone affiliated retailer credit card.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Let me explain the magic of radio. Dr. Craig McCabe is magically now in studio with us.
Poof.
It was amazing.
Just like that.
Played a commercial, then you appeared. So anyway, in person, how are you?
I'm still doing great. And yeah, if you have any questions about anything, it could be glaucoma, macular degeneration, cataracts, diabetes in the eyes, any issues like that, we would love to talk about it.
We got a new texting app here, and it's a little easier to read the text, but it's harder to filter out, well, this one just came in or that one's old. Anyway, you can text us right now at 615-893-1450. Dr. Craig McCabe on the air. This one says, I'm in the process or thinking about filing a lawsuit against a construction company because I was hit in the eye by a brick at a construction site. And it asked the question, should I have eye rehabilitation as my doctor says? I guess it's their general practitioner doctor who suggested eye rehabilitation. So I guess the question, first of all, what is eye rehabilitation? And is that something that somebody should get?
Well, you know, I think that you need to go see an ophthalmologist, have them thoroughly check out your eyes, and go from there. Because I don't know, you know, what may have happened to your eyes or any problems like that. I mean, I assume you may have gotten a foreign body of some sort in your eyes that you maybe had to get removed, but I don't know. Maybe it's a chemical irritation. I don't know. There's 101 Dalmatians. There's 101 different things that can happen to your eyes, but I just want you to get better. And of course, I'm not the right person at all to give legal advice, but I'll tell you that you should see an ophthalmologist who's going to take the time with you and figure these things out and refer you appropriately if possible. But I wish you the best, and I hope it was nothing real serious.
I tell you, that would hurt to get hit in the face with a brick. I mean, there's no way around that one. That would hurt bad.
You know, we have this bone that surrounds our eye called the orbital rim. That's composed of different bones of the front of the skull. And it protects us from anything larger than its diameter hitting our eye. So usually a fist, a soccer ball, maybe a tennis ball, but nothing smaller than that. Once you get smaller than that, then it can not be affected by that outer bony protective rim and actually push into the eye. And if it's traveling fast enough or it's sharp enough, it can penetrate into the eye. And so that's why things that involve sports that have a ball smaller than a tennis ball, maybe it's a racquetball, boy, you better wear eye protection when you play racquetball. I'm telling you, whether it's the racquetball or someone else's racket or, you know, their finger or something else, you need to do that. And gosh, we've seen Caitlin Clark, right? The famous female basketball player who purposely got poked in the eyes by someone from another team trying to take her out. All these things can cause serious damage, sometimes for the rest of your life. So, like I tried to say earlier, for you not to see all of a sudden in some way or another is not normal. And that's not like a cough, a sneeze, or a rash, and you want to give it a few days to see if it'll get better. That's where you should see an eye care professional as soon as possible.
This next person says, I'm currently home from work but still have my job, but thinking about filing for disability because my eyesight has gotten so bad to where I can't truly see right in front of me, which is why I'm currently home from work. Can you file for disability when you have eye problems or if you go blind naturally even?
Well, whenever we have to fill out these disability forms, we have to list their vision, and that is in regards to both their visual acuity, which is reading down the eye chart. You know, 20/20 is very good vision. 20/200, the big E, that's considered legally blind when you can only see the big E with your better seeing eye and using your best correction or your glasses or whatever. So that's the definition. Then there's another definition for legally disabled, and that is vision that is 20/70 to 20/200. So 20/70 is better, 20/20 is good vision, but you're far enough from that. And then to drive in the state of Tennessee and the contiguous states around Tennessee, your vision has to be best corrected 20/40 or better. And so usually these numbers don't mean anything to us and we just forget and go about our way and we hope they're 20/20 or 20/25, one line from it. But they actually have legal definitions that come into play for things like you're talking about with disability. And once again, you need to make sure that you've seen an ophthalmologist and whatever specialist it may need, whatever, to try to get you a C as good as you can. And hopefully they can improve it enough where you don't have to consider this. But if you do, then you can, and you can get the handicap tag that you can put in your car. And the School for the Blind in Nashville, Tennessee will also give you certain benefits, come out to your house, help you with a great big clock. You can get free directory assistance, yada, yada. They have things that can help you out and make it through the day. And all those are based upon that disability that you have with your vision.
They sent a follow-up text asking, is there a form that my doctor will have to fill out? I guess when you file for disability, what does the doctor, what role do they play in those forms?
They fill out the disability form. And believe me, if you go to our government, there's a form you got to fill out.
There's a lot of forms out there, for sure.
So, yes, of course, there's a form.
I'm guessing you may not need that disability hang tag for your car for driving if you can't properly see. Unless, I guess, a passenger. Can somebody who's not driving obtain one of those little hang tags, too? Because it would make sense for, like, a husband.
Yes, because they will have to be driven. Or maybe they've got a physical liability where they can't walk that far.
It makes sense. Again, Dr. Craig McCabe in studio with us this morning. Time right now, 8:48. Feel free to text us any questions, and I will try to find it on our new text app. Our number to text in on is 615-893-1450. This person asks, what causes changes in my vision as I age? I'm currently 45. Don't have any real problems, but I do notice things are a little more blurry than they used to be.
Yeah, that's a great question because that applies to so many people, I think, listening now. It's like, I'm getting older and my vision's not as good as it should be. Well, you know what? It should. It's different, but it should. You still should be able to see 20/20. You still should have good depth perception. You still should have good color perception. You still should have good stereo acuity. You still should have a good wide visual field, which is how far you can see side to side when you're looking straight ahead. So all these things should remain good probably till we're about 85. If it doesn't, then there's a reason why it doesn't. You're in need of glasses and you haven't been checked for it. That's probably the easiest, quickest one. And then as we get past 45, you know, we got to stretch our arms out longer to read. So we may need reading glasses or bifocals. So those are the most common things. And then as we get into our 60s, typically, we start to lose color vision. We start to lose depth perception. We start to lose visual acuity to be able to see small things, whether it be far or up close. And that's usually the development of cataracts. But cataracts is, you know, the best, most successful surgery of all major surgeries you could have done anywhere on your body. It's not perfect. And there always is a very small chance that you could have something bad happen to your eyes during an eye surgery. You know, I tell people it's like airline travel. Airline travel is the safest way to get from one point to another. But there's no fender benders. You know what I mean? So the ramifications can be serious and important. You never want to take it lightly. If you're not seeing well, there's a reason. Go get it fixed. This is 2025 now. We have very good treatments for most things. And make your life better. Go see the eye doctor.
Here's another one. It says, even though I don't see anything on my eyelid, my eyelid feels like there is some type of a rash on it and it hurts. And I've been putting facial cream on it thinking it's just dry. But then I saw a commercial about bacteria in your eye and something in regards to taking certain particular eye drops to help with that. What do you think this could possibly be?
Yeah, you're right. And boy, isn't there like a commercial for all these...
For everything.
Yeah, eye problems, but problems all over your body that you didn't even know existed, you know? And then you think, oh, I got this problem. I got to go get it fixed. But those, of course, are drug manufacturers that are trying to say, hey, go talk to your doctor about our products so they'll write us prescriptions. But it is good to know when there are things out there that can help you. So they do function as some education as well. But it never takes the place of seeing a specialist in whatever field that you need to be seen in. So make sure you go see the ophthalmologist for that. Things change as we get older, but we can fix them and make them better and correct them with easy things typically. But with the eyelids, there's all kinds of things. Yeah, you can have dry skin on your eyelids. The most common thing, though, is called blepharitis, which is inflammation of the lids and lashes due to bacteria that normally colonize our eyes but are in a heavy amount. And these are typically staph and strep bacteria, gram positives, and there are medications that do get rid of them quite well. Go see your eye doctor. Get it taken care of.
Now, I noticed two or three things you talked about today. Bacteria was mentioned in at least two of those items. One, of course, the lake water, and then that rash feeling on the person's eyelid. But what types of bacteria can get into your eye that could be seriously damaging and life-changing?
Typically, you have to have a route of entry, which is a cut or an opening. Post-surgery, any kind of surgery, whether it's cataract, diabetic surgery, or whatever, that period, that week or so, while things are healing and the wounds still have a route for bacteria to get through, you need to use your medications that the doctor prescribes you and not rub your eyes and don't do anything strenuous that week. You know, you still go shopping and do things, but don't push it. Kind of common sense. And if you get a foreign body in your eye, like we talked about from being outside or playing certain activities, boy, you go see an eye doctor or the ER right away for that. There are bacteria all over our skin right now. You can take a culture swab, culture it in the lab, and you'll grow out staph and strep and these other organisms that when they're in their low normal amount, they do not cause a problem. But if they get in a super high amount or they get in a breakage of our barriers that prevent them from getting in and they can get in, then it can cause infections. And in the eye, the eye is what's called immunoprivileged, so it does not have much surveillance of the immune system within it. And we need that because we don't need blood vessels in our eyes because then we can't see. We need a clear path for light to go through the eyes. But when you get an infection, then it can grow unchecked because we don't have the immune surveillance inside of our eye. And on the outside, we can typically get it to heal quickly just with antibiotic drops. But once it gets in your eye, it's a completely different issue and significance.
So outside of things like prescription eye drops, are there other items like medication that we take orally that an eye doctor will sometimes prescribe for certain conditions?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So the common ones probably blepharitis on the eyelids. You can use creams and some of these new drops that we talked about that actually get rid of parasites that are on your eyelashes, little mites. Or there you may have acne rosacea that affects your oil glands and it causes a dry eye problem. And that requires skin creams and oral antibiotics. The best treatment's called IPL, which is intense pulse light, but that is not paid for by insurance. The others are, so typically those are done first. Maybe you've got allergies affecting your eyes. And of course, you can't use eye drops for a systemic problem. You need to have both. There are many different conditions, antibiotics for infections in the eye. They often get an oral antibiotic pill as well. So yes, of course, you know, 60% of all neurological diseases have eye findings. So, you know, almost all connective tissue autoimmune diseases can have eye findings. So there's all these different ways. You know, there's lots of medications that we take that have complications, and almost always in all of them, if you read that little white paper that comes with it or your pharmacist gives you, it'll say blurred vision, and that's because it may affect dry eyes and other things. But yes, of course.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, but this next text, this person is fast on the draw. Their question sounds like they typed it while you were just now talking, but it asked about acne. It says, I've got a real problem with acne, and my eyes are always dry, but my skin is very oily. Could this somehow be tied to a problem related to my vision?
Absolutely. So the oil glands make the outer coat of the tear film. Behind that is a water coat. Behind that is a mucin coat that allows it all to stick to the eyeball. And if you don't have the oil coat, just like oil sits on top of water, if you don't have that protectant, the water coat can evaporate. And that dry eye problem from a lack of a good oil coat affects about 70% of people with dry eyes. Very common. So your eye doctor will have ways to address it. And most people with acne problems or acne rosacea will also have eye finding as well. So go see your eye doctor, and we've got good treatments for those.
I think you just healed somebody right there. You just solved the problem.
No, but hopefully it'll put them on the right course, the
very
direction.
Yeah. You know, I know for some folks out there, it's really tough when you're going to a doctor to solve a problem that you're dealing with, but then that doctor sends you to another doctor. That's a tough road to be on. That's no fun.
No, it's not. But your doctor is doing exactly the appropriate thing and the best thing for you. Maybe they've tried the common things and it hasn't fixed it, and you need a higher level of care, and so you need to go see a specialist. And, you know, thank your doctor for trying to do everything they can to help you feel better.
Again, on the air with us this morning, Dr. Craig McCabe of McCabe Vision Center. And you can go to his website, McCabeVisionCenter.com, to learn more and also to find out the directions to his office, phone number, all that good stuff.
Find McCabe Vision Center online at McCabeVisionCenter.com. That's McCabeVisionCenter.com.